Our next speaker here is Jeroen Vermeulen. I'll get to test my foreign names again, and he'll talk to us about Launchpad translations. Thank you, Jeroen.
Thank you. That was a pretty good interpretation of my name. I don't expect anyone else to get it right. I'm with the Launchpad translations team, so I develop on what we used to know as Rosetta. We now just call it Launchpad translations. These slides will be available on the Launchpad Dev Wiki, right? Not yet. They will be available. Okay. And I'm going to give you a very high-level overview of Launchpad translations. This will not be a demo. This will not show you any screenshots. I will not go into any technical detail. You may find the beginning of the presentation, actually most of the presentation, a bit confusing because I'm giving a very, very abstract view of Launchpad translation from very different angles. So in the beginning, you may wonder, how do I connect these different views? How do they come together? Hopefully they will come together, and I hope it will give you some of the basic concepts that will be absolutely necessary to understand what's going on. This is not a small application, and a lot of problems that we've had in the past. Can everyone hear me, by the way? Because it seems a bit on and off when I hear myself. A lot of the problems that we've had with fights with users, bug reports, getting people introduced to the application, are just because of some of these basic concepts are not clear. So, no technical detail. However, you must understand that what we translate is software in two different worlds. Okay. On the one hand, there are projects that register with Launchpad just like they would in SourceForge, for example, and translate in Rosetta. On the other hand, there's Ubuntu, which has a lot of packages, and the packages are sort of similar to projects. And sometimes you've got a package tied to a project because the upstream project that produces the software that goes into the package also uses Launchpad. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. It's also possible for people to register a project that they have nothing to do with. Anyone can come in and say, oh, there's a nice project, it's not in Launchpad yet, I'll register it, just like you might in Fresh Meat, for example. And the reason I started this slide with the word however is that an important technical fact is that these two are very, very different for us. Implementation-wise, these really are separate worlds. So this is another one of those completely different abstract looks at the system. This is one of those slides I regret making now because I like to stand next to my screen and point at stuff. And obviously that's a bit difficult now. What you see on this side is the Ubuntu side of things, and on this side you see the project side of things. I'll go through it step by step because my experience with slides is anything you put on them really distracts people from what you're actually saying. But what you see in the middle is Launchpad translations, right? It's the application. It has a nice web user interface where people can translate software to all sorts of languages. And the things that go in are all translation files, so usually GetText templates and GetText PO files. They go in different ways. So on this side, you see at the top, you see packages, Ubuntu packages being built by Soyuz, the package building system thing in Launchpad. That produces tarballs with all these translation files, imports them into Launchpad translations. Next to that are direct manual uploads. This is people coming in and uploading either a translation template, a translation file, or a whole tarball of stuff. This used to be This used to be our main way of getting files into Launchpad translations. In fact, if you have a project, this used to be the only way to get your templates in. And on the right, that picture is a bazaar branch. If you've got a bazaar branch on Launchpad now, you can set things up so that at any time you commit a change to one of your translation-related files, they just get imported into Launchpad translations automatically. This is now what we recommend for projects. Now, the stuff on this end only works for Ubuntu. Yeah, that's the left for you. Okay. This stuff only works for Ubuntu. This stuff works for Ubuntu and projects, and this stuff is only here for projects. So here you see how important that somewhat unfortunate distinction is between projects and packages. You have a question? That is a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. I will come to that. So yeah, these are all translation files. You can commit your PO template to a branch, but you have to produce it. Definitely coming back to that, I promise. What comes out on the Ubuntu side is we have... I'm pretty sure the microphone wasn't working before because I suddenly hear myself again. Yeah. So, actually, I find very few people ever object to not being able to hear me, so... If you're checking your email or something, that's all right. I see a few gentlemen in the back without their laptops open. We generate language packs for Ubuntu. This is interesting fact. This is actually one of the few things we do that are for distributions, but that are specific for Ubuntu. If somebody else came and said, we have another distribution that we would like to translate in Launchpad, this is one of the very few things where we would have to make a change to accommodate that. We'd have to have an extra cron job. But most of you, most of the time, are probably not going to see these tarballs, but they are going to turn into the language packs you install on the Ubuntu system. I hope you got the full exciting action on that one. Okay, manual downloads. Again, this was the main way people got their translations out of Launchpad until recently. There's an export option, and to be honest, it's a bit annoying. You go to a screen where you request an export, you check a few options, and you go, give me the export. Then you go away, make tea, come back, you've got an email, and it says, here's your export. Again, that's going to be a tarball with just translation files, or an individual translation file. Here we have bazaar integration again. This other picture with the bazaar logo is also a bazaar branch. It can, in fact, be the same one as the one you see at the top. So if you've got a project, you can set it up to export daily translation snapshots to your bazaar branch, and you'll just see a daily commit with the latest translations. That is a very good question. It will not commit if there are no changes, except technically we have a bit of a fudge factor there because it is theoretically possible for the previous commit to start at 1 o'clock, finish at 10 past 1, and at 5 past 1 you commit a change. So to guard against that, where the various timestamps basically say there are no changes since the last export. To guard against that, we add a bit of a fudge factor, so we re-export everything that came in since a few hours before the last export. However, if you are exporting back to the same branch you were importing from, it's possible because we have a loop on this side. We have a loop where the translations go around, they have multiple stages, and when that happens, believe me, things can go horribly wrong. So you might end up overwriting what you have in your bazaar branch, that may have some very new changes that aren't in the rest of the system yet with older translations. So to guard against that, it detects that situation and doesn't do the export. Better luck tomorrow. Did I mention I wasn't going to go into technical detail? I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Yet another completely different look at the system. This is how translations are managed. Again, we do have, this is really just to make you feel at home compared to the previous slides. On the left we have Ubuntu, on the right we have projects. You can see one of the technical differences actually, which is that for the purpose of this slide, all of Ubuntu is one thing and every project is also one thing. Translations need to be managed. A lot of the effort involved in that is going to be shared between projects, packages, and it's going to be broken down by language. So this slide summarizes how that happens. And this introduces, and again, I wish I could point here, but it's not very useful. This introduces a translation group. This has been the source of huge misunderstandings. I'll get to the misunderstandings as I proceed down the slide. Now, there's a bunch of translation groups in Launchpad. If you want your own, you can ask us. We'll create one and you can manage it and do whatever you like with it, essentially. Every project or distribution gets to choose, I want my translations managed by this translation group. That goes for all its translations, all its languages. They are all managed by that single group. Multiple projects and or distributions can share one translation group. You'll find that there are some that have huge numbers of projects attached to them. On the left we see, we see the Ubuntu translation group. Most people probably have heard of that. That translates Ubuntu. What's happened in the past is that a lot of independent projects basically just defaulted to the Ubuntu translation group because there's a lot of translators there. So to make that a bit more, to separate the interests a bit there, we now have a Launchpad translation group, which is sort of the reference implementation of a translation group. And we're asking projects who just want a translation group to manage their translations to use that one. But you can also have another one, and there's even a project on the top right there that doesn't have any translation group at all. That works just fine. How does a translation group manage translations? It maps all possible languages, well, all languages in the database, to teams that manage translations for that language. Here you see a bunch of language translation teams. These green things, they are translation teams. This one translates to Xhosa. I don't know how to do the click, I'm sorry. Arabic, Spanish, etc. You'll see some teams participate in multiple translation groups. Some are just in one. Lots of things you can do there. And what happens is that, for example, this Indonesian translation team here will manage the Indonesian translations for Ubuntu, but also for the project up there, which chose another translation group that this translation team participates in. This is one of the, historically, this is one of the least adequately explained features of Rosetta. It's very important to understand these three tiers. A lot of this may be very familiar to some of you, but I really have to go into it to avoid people coming away with a very wrong impression. And then finally, at the bottom, with my apologies to them, you find the users. Now, part of the whole structure is that the users are translators. As a Launchpad registered user, you can come to translations for pretty much anything and contribute to them. You could just go through the UI, you enter something, and it goes in as a suggested translation. You do not need to join a translation team. That's not what they're for. The translation teams are responsible for looking at your translation and going, oh, that's a good one. They're not there just to sit and translate. They're there to process your input, really. Now, when it comes to what we are hoping to change in Launchpad translations, the really big picture The important part really is that these translation teams are in practice usually responsible for taking those translations and also sending them upstream. It's upstream, yeah. There is no fixed responsibility for this. It is up to every project, every translation group, every translation team to figure out for themselves how to get the translations back upstream. Yeah, I've got time, right? Right now, the way this happens for Ubuntu is mostly it doesn't. This used not to be a problem, but increasingly people are saying, well, you've got all these translations, why aren't you sharing them with us? And our first answer would be, well, just click and get them and import them on your end. That turns out to be an impractical solution. It's not what people want. People want to have the translations come to them. Sometimes they're not even privileged to do the exports. We had to restrict that a bit because of performance problems. And so one of the big problems that we're trying to solve is sending those translations from all those little green groups back to upstream translators somehow. Sometimes those are organized in similar translation teams, sometimes they're per project, it all depends. Now this is one of two bullet point slides. I hate bullet point slides. I've got only two of them. I'll give you a chance to look at the bullet points before I talk so you won't do it while I talk. What? Okay. Now the major pain point there, of course, is getting translations back upstream. That's something we definitely want to address. What you do not see in this list, by the way, is things that are not related to our strategic focus of improving integration with upstream. Number two is, as a lady asked earlier on, is where do you get your templates? At the moment, they have to be generated somewhere upstream of us or by the package build in Ubuntu, and they get fed into Rosetta. We would like those to be generated in Rosetta. And that relates to the next point, which is getting translations when they are relevant and not just after a stabilized release. What happens at the moment is the code stabilizes, the strings stabilize, the translatable strings get uploaded into Launchpad, the upstream translations get uploaded into Launchpad, and then there's sort of a mad scramble to fill in the gaps. But really, it's all a bit after the fact. So we would like to, thank you, wow. I'm sorry, this gentleman just showed me a sign with the number of minutes I have left. Where was I? Oh yeah, okay. So what we would very much like is to get at the trunk of an upstream project and start translating that instead. We would like for Launchpad translations to be an attractive place to do this translation and send it back upstream, rather than just, you know, receiving the whole bundle and making little fiddly changes that never go anywhere else than Ubuntu. We do want to contribute to the community, really we do. There's duplication of translation effort. I kept that as a spare topic. I'll skip it. And another thing we get a lot is, I've got stuff that isn't in GetText format. What will you do about it? Generally, there are two answers. One is, no, I'll go into that later. But people have images that they want to translate with text in them. People have all sorts of weird translation formats. People have XML formats that they need to translate. And they want Launchpad to deal with that. And right now, to be honest, we don't. So this is where we want to go. Please come along with me clockwise. The upstream project has a source code repository in whatever revision control system. I've listed the main ones. Launchpad can import that code. It can keep track of the whole repository, and I'm sure Tim will be speaking about that, has spoken about that. Well, if you have questions, he will answer them. this is something we already do. You can register a project, and remember, you can register a project that you have nothing to do with, and import the code anyway, so the Launchpad will know about it. Then it's in a bizarre branch inside Launchpad that, yes, we will be generating templates from. So the templates that we have in Launchpad translations will be directly off the source code. They will not come from somewhere upstream from a package build. We will get them live. So code change comes in, the changed English strings show up in a translation UI for Launchpad translations. We import that into one of these projects. If the project upstream already uses Launchpad, fine. But generally, the upstream project is somewhere else. We can register that in Launchpad, import the translations there, but not make them editable. This will just be for looking at what upstream is doing in trunk. And those would get copied. I'm saying will, but this is really what we aim for, and practice may be different, but we mirror those translations into the Ubuntu package where people can translate at will. It will be very easy to see side by side how upstream is translating and how Ubuntu is translating. Then we go back to upstream somehow. This is a really hard part, and we haven't really done anything about it yet, but we will. Talk. So this is a summary of the current implementation status of all this, and each of the jobs we're doing for this will be useful even without the complete picture. That's very important to realize. We will make Launchpad better, not just when the entire picture comes about. We import source from That would be wonderful if you want to implement it, then absolutely. Remember the bit about this being high level and no technical details? Well, we are going to farm that out to the existing tools. So what we're looking for is the most common case. So that will be GNOME first and what have you next. So right now we're looking at just, is this a new style Intel tool translation setup? In that case, run Intel tool, and we've got the files. And people will complain, you know, that our project doesn't get that, and we'll look at their project if they're the ones complaining most or something. Five, right? Then hold up the sign. Okay. I'll just move right along. So these templates will generate, and we are coding. We have been spending the last week coding on infrastructure that's needed to make that happen. And it was really great for me the first time to have a community member present there. It's the guy sitting in the back and not paying attention. Next was the issue of what if I don't have GetHex, I have something else? Well, if it's a real translation format, generally the answer is get yourself a converter, do it in GetText. Right now we are not focusing yet on supporting all the formats out there, but if it's stuff like images, we'll probably never get around to storing arbitrary images in Rosetta. Instead, keep them in a branch. If you have a lot of translation stuff, only some of it is GetText, make the GetText go through Launchpad translations. Everything else loops around in your bazaar branch. Sorry for reading my own slides. Yes, mirroring from a packet from an upstream project that's registered in Launchpad, mirroring the translations from there to an Ubuntu package is something that we haven't even looked at yet. It shouldn't be too hard, but that's for the future. And a really hot one, of course, is getting back to upstream. And we get a lot of questions from people saying, why don't you just forward this to upstream? And I ask them, what's the email address for upstream? And people think I'm joking, but a lot of people seem to assume that getting back to upstream is easy. In reality, you've got a wild mix. For some translation teams, you've got very low-quality translations. You don't want to feed them back. People just want to clear those and start fresh with upstream translations. In other cases, we do want to feed back. Sometimes the people to contact are a translation team upstream. Sometimes they are the project managers. Sometimes you want to commit to a branch. Sometimes you just want to email. So what we are planning to do about this is, again, pick the biggest problem case. We'll start with GNOME and figure out how to do it for that case. And we'll build some kind of plugin for those most important packages to get back upstream. So it's been a long head for this and a short tail with the actual plan of what we want to do. If anybody has any questions about this, one or two I've already answered. If it's about the name, I'm not going to answer. Otherwise, you'll probably get an answer and it may not be yes. Are there any? Nope. Thank you for bearing with me.